No Joan of Arc by Bryony Lavery. The story of Laurence Dreyfus. Thursday morning. There were only 21 children that day.
Lucas?
Yes.
Quinta?
Yes.
Wilma?
Yes.
Audrey?
Yes.
William?
Yes.
Louis?
Yes.
Christian?
Yes. Christian, his name's Christian.
Gerard?
Yes. Barbara, his name's Christian.
Louise?
Yes.
Charles Emmanuel?
Charles Emmanuel had a cold.
Marion? Fleur?
Yes.
Quietly. Daphne?
Daphne?
Madame. Rudy, Masha, Anna, Melanie, Marie, Frederick, Philippe, Saint-Gilles. An ordinary day. Class 8, the nursery. École Commandant Charcot, Neuilly. Very ordinary. Sun in the classroom. The children have been in groups for singing and language activities, as usual. It's 9:30. Time for the routine tasks in the nursery class. Little ones learning life. Some are painting, others are modelling clay. Some are drawing with the crayons. That day, we are all working on our presents for Mother's Day. Charles Emmanuel, blow your nose. Is your nose. Fleur, draw.
I want a painting.
No, no painting, drawing.
Why?
Because of yesterday. Because of you and paint and yesterday.
It is 9:30. At this point, I hear something. I lift my head. A man is in the classroom. Something feels wrong. Strange. Odd.
What?
In that moment, the day turns from ordinary to... He's standing by the door. In the classroom, he's wearing a mask. His face is covered by a mask, black woolen mask, and his head. He's got a helmet, wrap around helmet on his head. He closes the door and... Oh, he points a gun at us. The children, they noticed him. But nursery class often has visitors. They were not frightened then. I remember, stunned. I didn't see him coming. I don't know how he got into my classroom, and he's there, and I'm there, and he's pointing a gun at the children.
What are you doing here? What are you doing here? This is a school. Who are you?
Wish I could see his face.
Who are you? This is a school. You're not... What do you want?
He won't talk. He doesn't want to. Refuses to talk. Hands me a piece of paper. This is a hostage taking. Go and alert the headmistress. Do not do anything that could put the children's lives in danger. I have enough explosive in my bag to blow up the whole classroom. I don't even read to the end. It's in perfect French. It's well structured. The sooner I go to the headmistress, the sooner I can get back to the little ones. To the little ones. To him with the little ones.
Be calm, Madame Gérard. Look, in the corner. Be calm. He's not harming the children.
The headmistress comes back to the classroom. She tries to get the man to talk. To get him to... But he threatens her with the gun.
Monsieur, what are you... Shut up. Shut.
Call the superintendent of police. Call him. Please, now. If you would, go now.
I feel fear. Plain fear. There. Yes.
Yes.
Well, that describes it. Not complicated. Fear.
Draw the curtains. Please. The corridor ones. Onto the corridor. And stick something over these windows. If you would be so kind. Do it quickly, please.
The children's pictures. I'll stick those on the...
Yes. Good, thank you. I don't want people looking in. Thank you.
Plain fear. It's... Well, fear clears you. It's helpful as the man signals me to gather the children in a group. I get them into the corner where we do the clay modelling and try to distract them so they forget he is there.
Hands on head. Hands on head, Audrey.
You can't make them believe it's all a game. It's out of the question.
Charles Emmanuel, blow your nose. Your nose. Yeah.
Why did you give it to my teacher?
Lucas, come to me. Everybody onto the story, right, please. No pushing and leaning. Fleur, Daphne, bunch up.
At this point, I am trying to concentrate on what I'm doing with the children. 21 of them. But some are away. Good. Normally there are 28. Good. Some are away. Some are safe. They're safe. I tell them their favourite story.
On the picnic in the forest, Jean was such a nuisance, his mother said, go and play over there, but...
Don't get lost.
Jean said...
You get lost!
His mother was cross that Jean was so rude, so he was sent into their tent without any sandwiches. After a while, Jean got bored sitting in the tent, so he got up and looked out. The forest was big with trees everywhere. The leaves were green, the branches were brown, and Jean was alone. Mummy's got lost, said Jean, in the dark forest. I'd better go and find her. And off he went.
But in spite of my best efforts, the little ones know that something abnormal's going on. The man's very suspicious. Edgy. He's putting sticks of dynamite at each end of the room. He hangs onto his remote control. You see, it was a walking time bomb.
They're going to kill us.
Shh, come up here. Come up, have a cuddle.
It's a policeman.
Fleur.
Yes, it's a policeman.
Audrey, Fleur's best friend.
No, it's a man.
Daphne, Fleur's greatest rival. Generally, as with all children of this age, they have very spontaneous reactions, calling him...
The hostage taker.
The hostage taker.
The hostage taker.
The kidnapper.
The kidnapper.
Why are you here?
Why are you here?
He's putting dynamite at each end of the room. He's got the gun trained on us. I'm reading the little ones a story.
Jean took the wide path to the very middle of the forest, where the leaves fluttered and flapped in the wind. The branches bent and swayed, and the wind howled and moaned.
He's put three tables down the middle of the classroom, and there's explosives on there. Wires trail.
Mommy, why aren't we going to play?
At that moment, I feel very alone. I start thinking, I am alone with the madman. Nobody knows. I think of my family, of Constance, my baby daughter, my husband, of life. Of ordinary. Before. Of course, I keep telling myself the mums will come to fetch the children. Everyone will know then. My family will know. My husband, my parents, everyone. And then I think they're all at work. They don't listen to the radio. They don't listen to the radio. They don't listen to the radio. How are they going to know? And midday arrives. And, oh, yes, the superintendent of police arrives.
I'm very good with explosives. What's this round my waist? Explosive. And what's that you can see? End of the room, superintendent? It's dynamite, sir. Ask the teacher. Ask her.
It never crosses my mind he is bluffing. He tells me.
Very good with explosives. I have 1.25 kilos of dynamite strapped to my waist. 750 grams are distributed about the classroom. At this moment, I and my explosives are quite stable. But observe the circuit breaker in my left hand. Please do not play games with me. I am quite serious.
And he laid the sticks with such precision. I believe him. I completely believe him.
What's your name, teacher?
Laurence Dreyfus. Laurence.
Laurence.
He wants money. He wants a radio. He won't let me leave the room. But there's a policeman at the door. And I can see many other people behind him. Watching. They're so close. But so far away. He's given the little ones a bucket as a toilet. They find this very funny. They go mad.
Keep them quiet, Laurence.
So now it is all negotiating. To keep the children quiet. To keep him quiet. Negotiating, black uniform. Bulletproof vest. Quiet. Calm.
Sir, my name is Philippe Bayon. I am the commander of RAID.
RAID is there. My mind clings to what the letters stand for. Recovery, assistance, intervention, dissuasion. But he is wearing a bulletproof vest.
I am concerned that we all keep calm so that your demands may be met and that these children and their teacher remain safe.
Give these kids something to eat.
Good, okay. But you must give us something in return.
And I want a television.
Television? Yes, but you must give us something.
Get a telephone in here. I need to speak to people in authority.
They talk and talk. One in the center of us, the other at the door. Both calm, reasonable. As if they're buying and selling cars.
Of course.
But yes. One with a bulletproof vest.
We must have some assurance.
One with this belt full of explosives.
And sleeping bags. Lots of sleeping bags. It's going to be a long time.
Sleeping bags, good. Now think about the children. These children are very young. Sleeping bags.
And I want to meet a journalist from a big newspaper, Figaro, Le Monde, Match. A top journalist. Top.
So, good. 5 things you need from us. For this, we need 5 from you. Now here's what we agreed then. A midday meal, 1 child. A television, 1 child. A telephone, 1 child. Sleeping bags, 1 child. Meeting with a journalist, 1 child.
And this is the beginning of the horrible bartering. Of deciding which 5 children get out. Charles Emmanuel. He's feverish. Marion. She's very pale, very quiet. Sanjeeve, who said nothing since the man came in. Philippe, who's been trying to hold my hand all morning. Keep his hand in mine. Frederick. Frederick is being very naughty. Very loud, very pushy, irritating the man. And the man strikes at him. And I push them. Gently. One by one. Across to the door. And so, we are brought lunch. The first concession. It is surreal. The canteen trolley is wheeled in. Ordinary, ordinary, ordinary. Fish, potatoes, beans, but no knife. We have to eat the fish with a spoon. In such a situation, you can imagine knives are strictly banned. So I explained to the children.
It's a picnic. We're having a picnic. We've forgotten the knives. What can we eat the fish with? Yes?
But some cannot eat. Quentin, William, Gerard. Rudy cannot swallow a single mouthful. And Christian even refuses a drink. They are not. It is bad. Some of them are. We let them take their afternoon nap. We put out mattresses instead of the beds they usually have. Of course, they are noisy.
Make them shut up. You're the teacher. Get them quiet.
Healy is capable of shooting them. If the noise gets to him, once again, I am frightened. So I have to face up to him and...
Listen, I can't do any more than I've been doing all morning. They're tiny. 21 of them piled into the corner of a hot, hot classroom. What do you expect? They make a noise. They make a noise, and there is nothing I can do about it.
Tell them a story.
Get that? Jean said, I am the thunder in the forest. The trees went quiet, then said, shh, stop the fluttering and flapping, the bending and the waving, the howling and the moaning. He is the thunder in the forest.
The man demands money. Lots of money. 100 million francs. He demands a radio. I have a transistor by my desk, but I keep quiet because he hasn't seen it and...
We'll give you half the ransom, 50 million francs. One radio, yes, but for that concession, you must let someone go.
And Lucas's father appears at Monsieur Bayon's shoulder. And Lucas, who is playing on the mattresses with his friend Romain, sees him. And he goes towards his father.
Stop him!
The man hasn't said go!
Daddy!
Lucas!
But he keeps on. He climbs under the table with the explosives on.
Lucas, walk! No rushing!
Daddy!
And under the wires which lead to the explosives.
Lucas!
Watch the wires! The wires!
Daddy!
And Lucas is in his papa's arms. And then Romain. Romain is released. And... Louise. Three children for the radio and the money. And then, what? Oh, yes, I remember. A dog. I sent a dog in. An Alsatian. Long-haired, young, keen. Young dog. Sniffs around. I want to find out something. I don't know what. What the explosives smell like? They smell of nothing. What the kidnapper smells like. Sweating. Hot smell. He smells full of fear.
Get this dog out. Get this bloody dog out of here.
Jean, the finder in the forest, looked about the silent trees. He climbed one.
What do you think he saw?
Mum.
What else could he have seen? The tiger. What else?
The
bear and the leopard.
The hours go by. The children start to ask for their parents. At this age, children do not yet have the notion of time. They don't beg for mummy's hour, which is 4 o'clock at Neuilly School, until about 7 p.m. He's tense. Twitchy. He demands...
A doctor. Bring in a doctor. Give these kids something. Pills. No, an injection. Give them all an injection. We'll inject them so they can sleep.
A doctor soon arrives from the hospital. Emergency unit. Catherine. Dr. Faraci. Of course she injects no one. But they negotiate for more children to leave. And I choose them.
Claude, put your shoes on. Gerard, come to me, darling. Christian, The principle was to free the weakest first, those who cried, or had a temperature, or were starting to panic. Melanie, come up here. Come. It is her deciding. And Quentin. Quentin.
There one of us goes tingling-a-ling all day long.
At that moment, her kidnapper made it very hard.
You do know this is going to go on for a long time, don't you?
All the time. All I saw of him was his eyes. The dark brown. Bigger and bigger rings under them as the hours go by. He had taken off his helmet, but he still had on his mask. I kept wondering what his face was like. It was a kind of obsession to get to see his head.
Sit still. I'm going to eat. This is my food. Keep everybody away from this bag.
His own food, his own water. He drinks yogurt drinks.
From the top of the tree, Jean could see below him every part through the forest. Fleur turned round and faced me. And the finder in the forest looked and listened and searched and saw...
Oh, the smoke. Let's keep the kids back.
He didn't take any amphetamines, like people said. I never saw that. He just kept going on his nerves like everybody did. He'd only eat the food he'd brought with him.
Along one of the paths, coming towards him, he saw someone he knew very well.
Mom.
You got lost, said.
Mummy.
Yes. No, you got lost, said John.
And late evening, after some negotiation, he let me out for a break. It is 10:30 at night. School is no longer a school. It's like a transit camp. Camp in a war. Everything ordinary there, but everything changed to become not real. The headmistress's office has become the war office. From there, the police. The head of raid, Monsieur Bellion. Lots of men in charge. Monsieur Yves Leon Can, Claude Cause, mastermind the war. Telephones and wires, and the refectory is full of men in black uniforms. Men from raids with guns, some bulletproof jackets, hard helmets. There are beds everywhere. Camp beds erected. And a smell. A wonderful scent of fresh coffee coming from the staff room, which is full of the parents.
What's happening?
What's happening? How's all right?
How's
right?
My little girl?
How's Fleur?
They're fine. They're fine. Fleur's just had a big cuddle. No, don't worry. I'll have a cup of coffee and then I'll get back to them. And Bayon asking me.
Is he sleepy yet? Where is he in relation to the children? How far is he from the explosive on the table? Is he anxious? Jumpy?
And then I see my husband. And he has Constance asleep in his arms. Constance! And I hold her in my arms for a bit. Because, and I breathe in her smell. And when I think that she's all right, and he's all right, it's time for me to return to my class.
Who is it?
It's me, Laurence.
All day long.
There are now 8 little ones left. When I come back into the classroom, they all throw their arms around my neck. This happens every time I go out for a rest. Someone asked me after, why didn't you hand over to someone else? I never thought of it. Not for a second. They know me. They ask for me each time. They are entrusted to me. They are my children. At 11 o'clock, they are all asleep in the corner on the mattresses. I think the situation is improving. The hostage taker asks for a doctor.
One doctor, one child.
Leah, wake up. The man's going to take it to mummy.
The doctor's name is Evelyn.
How are you doing, Laurence?
I didn't know her, of course, but I almost immediately struck up a very strong relationship with her. I'm doing okay.
All things considered.
All things considered.
Let me look at you, give you a quick check over. I'm a doctor, so anything you need, Valium, aspirin,
strong gin and tonic. She could make me laugh. It was like light came in. She took over from me when I was tired. And the children, she made them laugh too.
Little one, what's your name?
Audrey.
Audrey? Are you Audrey Hepburn? And you're Louis. King Louis the 14th.
I have been able to describe exactly to each parent how their child is doing. I have seen the organisation outside. Mr. Sarkozy has come to negotiate several times, which gives me the impression that things are on the right track. And the men from RAID were there, and they said the teams all around the school had already done other hostage situations, and we just have to be patient.
The leaves fluttered and flapped. Branches swayed. Wind moaned, saying, stay in the forest. And Jean said, get lost. What's this garbage? Why are you reading this to them?
It's their favourite story. It's called The Finder in the Forest.
Garbage. It's garbage. Get somebody in here. Nobody's taking me seriously here. I want everything in place to get out of here. Get me something to read.
And so at 1 a.m.
For something to read, we'll get you that, but you must give us a child.
Okay. Get on with it.
Laurence, what about Louis? He's not sleeping.
We choose Louis. Louis, get up. Louis,
come here, Louis the 14th. Let me pick you up. Take you to
us. And Evelyn carries him out. But it doesn't satisfy the man. He's overcome with suicidal ideas.
This is it. He's cracking up.
Suppose I don't bother with the money. Suppose I don't bother with the rigmarole, with the escaping, with the drive down the motorway. Suppose I just... Evelyn, you could get me an injection. Nice and quiet and straight to sleep and... something medical. Clean. Finish me off with it. No. No. Say the needle's contaminated. Say I get AIDS. God, no. No. That's not going to happen to me. No. No, 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 no.
And at 2:10, he said,
negotiations suspended. No more talking to the outside. Leave us alone!
I don't sleep a wink. The children mostly sleep. But me, Evelyn, the man, no.
I think you should come with me, Laurence. Yes. Yes. So I take you out with me so they don't... so they can't renege or anything. And I get clear and then I release you somewhere en route. Yes. What's wrong? Laurence.
Nothing.
Laurence. You're crying. Stop. What's wrong?
I saw myself alone.
on the edge of a motorway. Or in a forest. In the night. And it was the most dreadful. Worse somehow than all the... I don't know why. Perhaps these are images of abandonment from deep within myself. Perhaps these are images from deep within myself. Anyway, I cried in front of this man. So he said,
"Don't worry. I won't harm you. I won't harm you. I won't."
Friday morning. There are only 6 children now in the classroom. And it should be easier. But it's not. Man listens to the radio. The commentator says,
"It's 6 o'clock. The situation at Ecole Commandant Charcot is now entering its second day. This morning's papers have dubbed the female teacher a modern-day Joan of Arc, but it seems as if the Neue hostage taker is still making all the running."
Well, this cheered him immediately, and he starts out the day as fresh as the one before. We, the adults, haven't slept. And the 6 children, they're all girls, Audrey, Fleur, Daphne, Masha, Anna, Marie. They're there because they are the ones I judge to be the strongest. So they are there because I've chosen them.
The leaves fluttered and flapped.
They want their parents.
Where can you do that?
The branches bent and swayed. And the wind howled and moaned. But Jean climbed down from the tree, through the leaves, along the branches, down the trunk, and he took his mother by the hand, and they led each other down the path out of the forest.
The day is endless. The man is engaged in endless talks about the rest of the ransom. Midday. Monsieur Bayon has ordered us all pizza margaritas from the pizzeria at the corner of Rue des Fermes. The man still eats his own food. He eats ham straight out of its own plastic wrapping. And he and Monsieur Bayon endlessly negotiate.
I know you. You're a good sort. You don't wish these children harm.
How are you going to take the money away? Have you seen how much it is? You don't have to carry it away in a lorry. Think about it.
I've had a chance of 100 million, and you want me to drop it to 50. God, who's holding the cards, Bayon? Get it.
There's discussion after discussion. Bring it in francs. Bring it in dollars. In marks. In marks and dollars.
The mayor of Neuilly, Monsieur Sarkozy, is going right now to the Place Beauvau, to the Minister of the Interior. He is going to give the nod to the governor of the Bank of France to give you 25 million up front. How does that suit you?
Okay. Okay, let me see the money, and then we'll discuss my departure plans.
The money arrives late afternoon, by lorry, in 3 blue suitcases. On one of my breaks from the classroom, Monsieur Bayon suggests a plan.
He wants to take one child with him. This is not acceptable unless we negotiate that he takes the child's parents and we send in 2 members of RAID as parents. What do you think, Laurence?
I'm tired. Tired. I need my brain to think. I think the child might not recognize the parents, be bewildered and cry. We can't take the chance. If he thinks we're cheating him, he won't trust us.
We can't let him take any children with him when he goes. We need to work something out.
I didn't know then that they had the classroom bugged, that we were cheating him anyway, that they had him under surveillance every second of the time, with a psychologist watching to find the right moment to...
For 3 cases of money, you must give us all 6 children.
No.
No, you don't get all the children. They're my insurance. How about I keep one? How about I take one with me and drop her when I get clear?
We need to talk about the explosives around your waist.
You have to surrender the belt. At this point, we were very hopeful. The two of them had established an excellent rapport. They sat with such friendliness, sitting side by side, discussing the swapping of children for money like it was a supermarket list. Value. This is a word I know the meaning of. It's all settled. Departure time has been fixed for between 9:30 and midnight tonight.
God,
we won't put the children to bed.
No,
good. We'll be out soon.
Evelyn and I squeeze each other's arms.
Who is it?
The money is carried carefully into the classroom, put on the three tables which bisect the room, placed beside the explosive, careful of the wires trailing.
You count it. You must have seen so much money in your life, Laurence.
I can't think about it. I'm too tired.
I need some envelopes. You need to get me some envelopes. Seven. Seven envelopes.
What do you want seven envelopes for?
I want to put some money aside for a week's holiday for you all. One for you, one for each of the kids. Well, I've been a bit of a nuisance. I'd like to make it up to you. Here.
Thank you.
Go somewhere nice.
Mommy. He still has on his hood. I can only see his eyes. And I notice a glint of wetness. His eyes fill. Just for a moment. Then it is gone.
No. I don't think I can exit like this. Strategically, I don't think it works out in my favor. The car's not a good idea. It's going to be too visible. You've got me strapped up with this. The money should be in marks and dollars. You shouldn't have talked me out of that one. No. Get some pajamas for these kids. It's going to be a long night.
He was suddenly quibbling over everything and going back on everything that had been agreed.
I want a video camera set up.
A video camera is set up. So the parents and outside can see their children.
There! You can watch me. You can watch us.
And then, it was then I realized. Why are you hesitating? Why aren't you leaving now you have all you asked for? You have the money, the car, everything.
Shut up.
Your problem is that you're afraid to go outside.
Shut up. Shut up. We're not going to quarrel now, Laurence.
I never saw the outside of his head, but suddenly I saw inside.
To the very middle of the forest, where the leaves fluttered and flapped, the branches bent and swayed, and the wind howled and moaned.
Then I understand that I have put my finger on his pain, and he has been suicidal from the start.
What are we going to do now? What if the car breaks down?
Well, that's your problem. You should have thought of that before, seeing as you planned all this. But the second night got dark. Shh. We're not going to get out of this. Get out of this.
Go and lie down. We'll make it.
I went out for another break. Outside, in the playground. And I see the emergency unit field hospital completely laid out. With the life support blankets and the words sorting station. And I see the stretchers. The big ones for adults. And the little ones. Child sized. And then I can't wait for it to be over.
Laurence, that story, yeah, the one you tell them.
Yes. What?
The branches and things. They wouldn't do that. Just stop. Just because he told them to.
Right.
You shouldn't tell them things aren't going to happen.
All right.
Read me the end.
He climbed down from the tree, through the leaves, along the branches, down the trunk. Jump, said his mother, before you get lost.
Garbage.
He was so tired.
Look, on the monitor. He's swaying. He's tottering. I think... Yes. Stand by.
He sat down.
Stand by. I think he's going to.
I feel the end coming, and I'm trembling. I'm not afraid of the man, but of the end that loomed. Evelyn reacted much more coolly. She'd had military training. It was her who was in the room during the final. And all the honours go to her. I was out of the room resting at that moment.
Go.
I sit in the staff room. Only the men from Raid are in the school. Men from Raid suddenly rush past me. 12 guns. And I hear running, running, but no shouting, no voices. And then... he'd fallen asleep. He couldn't keep awake a moment longer. And they must have picked that up on their monitors. They knew it was their chance. 12 of them, I think. 6 grabbed a child each and ran. Ran out past me with them crying in their arms. All masks and gear like the man. Of course, they were frightened. 4 of them shielded what happened from the little ones, and the remaining 2 shot him.
The conductor when the bus goes, tickets, please. Tickets, please. Tickets, please. The conductor when the bus goes, tickets, please. All day long.
They found his name among his papers in the pockets of his clothes. Eric Schmidt. That was his name. I can't say yet what the meaning of this is to me. It's too early. Sometimes I'm in that classroom in those 2 days and nights. Sometimes I'm on the edge of a motorway, in a forest, in the night. Sometimes I'm the finder in the forest. I'm no Joan of Arc. No. He wasn't a monster. No. Of course he made us suffer. Parents, children, my family, myself. But he remained consistently calm and well-behaved. For me, he was a human being. And that's how he will remain, even if I never did see his face.
The conductor when the bus goes, tickets please, tickets please, tickets please. The conductor when the bus goes, tickets please, all day long.
In No Joan of Arc by Bryony Lavery, Laurence Dreyfus was played by Adjoa Ando, Eric Schmidt by Tom Mannion, Bayon by John Rowe, and Evelyn by Sarah Rice. The director was Claire Grove.